you know, we'd break for music. I mean, it was really different than podcasting today, but it's there's an energy to it. Yeah.
Yep. All right. And here we are, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. This is Neil with Portal to Ascension. And I'm just going to check out the live stream right now. I just want to make sure that some of you are here because today is a special day, not only because we're here with a special guest, but I don't even remember the last time I went live, everyone. It's been quite some time, actually a few months. To me, that's a long time. But over a few months ago, I was going live almost every single day. And it's been a journey of a lot of self-discovery, a lot of healing work that I've been on over the last few months. So I've just kind of scheduled a lot of things, really, and just allowed all of our content to go out there. And so I'm excited today for the guests, but I'm also excited to begin live broadcast once again. This is the beginning of frequent lives. We're going to be going live quite often with many guests that are going to be at the Ascension Conference, ascensionconference.com in San Diego. And also then Glastonbury, we're going to Glastonbury in the UK. And Alan Steinfeld, myself, and Joan of Angels, we're producing these events together. So we'll do a separate broadcast specifically to show you what's going on there. But since we have so many live events coming up, we've been kind of in hermit mode, creating our new website and getting ready for these productions. So today we're just gonna get right into it. And what I'm gonna do is actually, because I wanna really give credit to the speaker that we have today, the guest we have, Lori Wheeler. So I'm gonna pull up her bio here. And so let me just tell you how we connected first. So I'm gonna introduce you to Lori Wheeler. The title of this stream is Ancient Lemuria and what did I call it? Ancient Lemuria and the Energy of Dolphins. Just because those are two topics that I really appreciate from her. And she does many other things, different retreats around the world. So this is an opportunity for you to get to know someone that is and is going to be intrinsically connected to Portal to Ascension. We're gonna do a lot of work together. Not only is she one of the sponsors of our San Diego conference, but she's also a sponsor of Glastonbury conference. So the two major conferences we're doing this year. And we've kind of gone, are working together to do a retreat after each conference. So we're, her sponsorship, her involvement with us is to, you know, definitely showcase who she is and what she does, but also after our conferences to be able to go into these epic journeys and these retreats that she facilitates. And her website, I'll grab later because I have it here somewhere, where you can actually see a bunch of different retreats that are going on. So today we're gonna be talking to Lori. And Lori Wheeler is the owner of Wellness Within. It is a transformational holistic, she's a transformational holistic practitioner, homeopath, psychic, channel, hypnotic regression, medical intuit, and shamanic practitioner who helps by enhancing the ability to fully remember a divine being through the disintegration of what no longer serves, moving into a heart-centered perspective and becoming infused with the light of wisdom. Her thought leadership is transformational, utilizing various modalities such as the speaking of the language of light, accessing the energy and wisdom of sacred geometry, activates and recalibrating dormant DNA to the original blueprint. Her soul is an aspect of her collective Arcturian, Lemurian, Egyptian, Magdalena, and multidimensional lineage, offering her guidance and wisdom in assisting her clients to discover their truth and access their power. Lori is the receptor, transmitter, and the translator of energy, which allows her to actually perceive and understand patterns and effects on DNA. And also, from my own heart here, having a few conversations with Lori, we just have a lot of similar belief systems, if you will, and in alignment in many ways. So I'm excited to join forces with you, Lori. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Neil. Thanks for the fabulous introduction. And it's such a great privilege to be here today. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I really just appreciate your energy. The few conversations we had, the long conversation we had about how we're going to work together, I really felt a deep resonance. So I want to officially introduce you to the community. And I would love for you just to start out with, you know, just telling us some of your journey. I'd love to know how people get to where they're at. You know, did you wake up awake? Were you born awake? Was there a milestone in your life that happened to you? You know, how did you get into doing what you do?
Well, it's quite interesting. I actually don't remember, except at the age of 5, I remember many times speaking with Yeshua, Jesus. And so I've channeled his energy since I was 5 years old. And I would have conversation and people would turn around and look at me like I was a little nuts at 5 years old, you know, like she's just imagining. But I many, many nights would lay in bed and have conversation with him. So that's my first remembering. And I know I spoke with my higher self also because I remember those conversations as a young girl. I also, you know, talking about dolphins, I remember that when I was, maybe about 10 years old and maybe even younger, but somewhere in that age, I would swim in the water and I'd never want to get out of the water. I would swim. I remember people saying she swims like a fish, you know, because I just was so natural at it. I won awards when I was a little kid. I just knew how to swim. It was innate. And I wanted to live underwater. I remember talking to my parents about it. I wanted to be what in my mind was an aquatic ballet dancer or something, the motion and movement. So I've always been under the water. I've had many experiences with dolphins and we can talk about that in a minute, but I've always been connected to those who speak to me and I listen. And even when it's not convenient and I'll say, really, are you going to really ask me to do that? Because it's beyond what I would think myself, but I follow and without real deep reservation. And so I've always been that way. And I've had many, many experiences over my life that have proven out that it was the way to do it. So
You said as a child, you were having conversations with your higher self, right? Did you know in that moment, like what was going on? Or is it like later on in life, you reflected back and you realized what was happening?
I knew it was me. I knew it was a part of me, but a part of me that I didn't know well, because at the age of 7, what do you know? You're just coming into yourself and your world is very small. So, but I knew I was talking to myself and I still literally talk to myself, and people will, you know, my husband or somebody will say, you're talking to yourself again, but I'm having real conversation. Yes. It's not really talking to myself. It's talking to my higher self because we're really conversing.
So, yeah. Did you grow up was your family religious at all? Were they open to all these?
So I grew up in a Catholic upbringing. My mom and dad were. And then when I got a little older, I actually got involved in the Christian Reformed Church, which is a very intensive church denomination. And but what I wasn't a part of the group. In other words, I had different beliefs and feelings about things. Yet I studied theology when I was in that church. And I came to really understand a second understanding about Christ consciousness. And it wasn't so much the church taught me, it was my own learning through. And I realized that love was the most important and foundation of all through Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So most of the people in the Christian Reform weren't into Christ consciousness, right?
No, not at all. They would never call it that. It was a different understanding for them. Yeah.
Is the Christian Reform more like exclusively Christianity and Jesus is the only way, and you were in it but realizing that there was more?
Yeah, exactly. And they were following too much rule and leaving or moving away from the concept of what it really was. And I didn't like that and it didn't feel right to me. So I eventually left. Yeah. And that's when I came into my own understanding. Yeah.
Right. And then when did the extraterrestrial connection come about?
Well, I had, I built a house in 89 with my first husband and my 4 children. And we built a house and it was on Native burial ground. And I did not know that at the time. And that was my introduction, what I call my rude awakening into this concept of being awake now and aware of all. Yeah. Taught me a lot.
And were there specific like beings that came to you at first? Like, because you said, you know, in your bio says you have an Arcturian connection. Do you actually have conversations and communications with other celestial beings?
Yes, absolutely. It was my beginning, my foundation of my learning process of how to work with the other side across the veil with those that speak to me. And it started out in native wisdom and working with those particular shamans and that. And then it expanded. And that's when I started to learn light language. And so they would speak to me, and I could. So for me, I'm a receptor of energy, but I'm also a translator of energy. I can hear and then translate, or I can put my hands on something and I can translate what the energy is expressing. So that's when it began to happen. And many beings would start to come in and talk to me from many different star systems and that. And I work with many, or I've talked with many.
What years was this happening?
Let's see. It was in the very early 90s. So once we became ill from toxic water, but I also went through my spiritual cleansing at that time. And so it was somewhere in the very early 90s, 91, something like that.
Whoa, so you've been in communication with these star beings consciously for like 30 years, right?
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Did you know, like, so did the name Arcturian come to you quickly, or was that later? Like, was it even common back then to even know these names?
You know, they started out where they would just speak to me, and I'm still like this today sometimes, where I don't ask a lot of question of who are you and where are you coming from and why. And I don't do a lot of that, and I never have throughout my life. I think it's more about what the gist of the conversation is rather than where are you from. It will really depend on the conversation and what we're talking about. Sometimes they will just share with me who they are right from the beginning, and then other times I may ask. So, yeah.
Right. So is it more, because I often like wonder, and I'm, it's part of my side project that I'm going to do, is that a lot of these names come from ancient Greek text, right? Obviously, these places existed before. The Mayans knew about the Pleiades, but they didn't call it the Pleiades. So is it more of an energetic signature, like a frequency of knowing when you have these downloads, when you have these connections?
It's both. So sometimes it is just a signature of frequency. And sometimes it's just like you and I having a conversation. It varies depending on who is speaking. Like when the light beings come in and speak light language, that's a very different energy and a different feeling. They're all kind of different, just the way you and I are all, and the whole world is very different, and we're unique. They also have very much a different type of representation.
What kind of messages do they have? And
Oh
is the
my
light
God.
language, is the light language specifically from light beings, or are Arcturians light beings too? Like, is it different celestial beings or specifically a group of beings that give you the light language?
They are very specific. They call themselves, as I've asked them, they just want to be known as the light beings, which I believe there's something underneath that, but that it really doesn't matter. Not to me as a human person and what I'm to be utilizing the language and how to utilize it and that. So when they speak, there are different ones, and I can tell by the way they speak through me, I can hear the dialect is different. I have some that actually sing and require me to sing their language. Some just speak, some speak faster, some slower. Some are about what is going on in the world, some are about health. They're all very different, but there's definitely numerous ones that speak. And I forgot the first part of the question,
Yeah,
sorry.
what kind of messages are, do they like give you like technical information about the universe, or is it like messages for Earth, or both?
So it depends. If I'm speaking language for a group, it will be group oriented, and it will have to do with what's going on right now, how we're choosing to ascend, what's very specific about maybe the topic of conversation or a lecture or something. But if it's for a unique individual, it can vary from health, information to activating dormant DNA, to healing DNA. It comes in many different ways when it's more personal for an individual. And then sometimes I can just put my hands on and speak the language, and there is an opening and healing. And many people will respond and tell me that that's what they feel is happening. Mm. It's very powerful.
Did you think, like, when we close out for this interview, do you think we can end with some light language today?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'll ask them. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Sure. So how did they get into retreats? Like, what were you doing before you actually did retreats? Like, there was a journey, of course, where you a practitioner of certain modalities, and then, you know, the evolution of that was, you know, creating these retreats around the world.
Sure. So I've been in my work for, I just say, over 25 years now. And when I take vacations, they're not vacations. I Yep. kind of have a sense, or I hear about where to go. And when I go, I say magic happens, because as being a receptor of energy, I'm just brought to certain areas. I'm guided to do certain things. And what do I want to say? Voila, things happen. And that amazed me all the time. So I would come back and tell people, you know, friends and other people in conversation about what occurred. And people would say to me, wow, take me with you when you go the next time. I want to go. I want to have this experience. And I began to realize and work with those beings that I work with, and ask them, is this something that I should be doing? And I did do it for a while, and then I stopped doing it. And then when this fall, or last fall, when I was up in Mount Shasta, particularly in the Telos area where the Lemurian people or beings exist down in Mount Shasta, the gatekeeper of Telos came above, and we had a conversation about some things. And one of the things he said to me, I call him Mr. G because I can't pronounce his name. He asked if we could open up the retreats again, because the masses want to come. And it's about having the wisdom that supports you in your journey and activating dormant faculties in that are going on. And some of that really just has to happen in the experience of being in a place. And I can speak firsthand, because many of the places I have been, they've been life altering to me. And I want to offer that for other people. So,
yeah. Would you say that the earth has sacred sites that if we go and visit, we can reactivate certain parts of ourselves and memories?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes you really don't even have to go, because the activation can occur already, because it's helping us remember. We may have a time during that time in that particular place. There's something there for us to become more aware of for our current life. But the actual physical place, sometimes you cannot have the experience without being in that real physical place. Like when I was in Peru at the doorway of Aramu Maru, and say that three times fast, I'm standing in one of the doorways. There's three of them. The second doorway I stood in, and people were watching this because we brought a large group with us. And we did it with Jorge Luis Delgado. I was standing in the doorway by myself, and I could feel myself dematerialize. You know, like in the movie Star Trek, where he says, beam me up, Scotty, and they start. Well, that's exactly what was happening to me, which has never happened anywhere at any other time except that doorway. And then when I left and I went to the middle doorway, which is sort of an opening that kind of comes like this, and there's a place where you put your third eye in this curvature in the doorway, three light beings came to me and asked me if I wanted to leave and go with them. Now, I've never had that happen either in all the channeling and workings that I've had. So it's just the energy that and the portal that's going on, or the vortices that are happening in these places.
Amazing. Yeah, I was going to ask, my next question was going to be where did you go and where are some profound experiences? You shared one, Peru. I just want to say really quick about Peru is like one of the most majestical places in the world. The whole country is like an archaeological site. So much activity has happened there, right?
One big crystal, one big
Yeah,
crystal.
seriously. So
Right.
where are some other places that you've been that you like really, really loved?
Oh my gosh. Well, Sedona is a hot spot too because there's numerous vortices there going on, and you can meet extraterrestrials there. I've actually been to Blind Frog Ranch, which is next to Skinwalker Ranch, and Dwayne Ollinger happens to be a very close friend of mine and my husband's, and we've been there numerous times with family and such, had so many shamanic journeys there, and I've met extraterrestrials there. I met the reptilians there actually. They came above the sur to the surface and had a conversation with me, and then I met, and I thought this was rather interesting. I met this little gold being, extraterrestrial, no more than 3 feet tall, and with antennas, kind of like almost like a Martian looking type of thing, right? And I could see it uncloaked, and I could see its ship, and it's sort of like in this beam of light, I could see all of them kind of coming down and into the earth and then going back up. But I was up on the hill toning at the time, which we know toning, and I think it was, people need to know this. This is like a magnet. It's you're bringing it in when you tone. So I'm toning, and this little being shows up, and it kind of tips its head. It's about 2 feet in front of me, tips its head, and must have heard my conversation going on in my head. It says, "We are as curious about you as you are about us." And then it began to give me some language and symbols that it started to explain a whole lot of information to me. It just kind of blew me away at the time. I wasn't really expecting that. So it
Wow.
just seems like no matter where I go, I have the most profound experiences. Just a lot, yeah, but awesome experiences though.
Yeah, that's
All good.
beautiful.
No negative whatsoever. Yeah, never.
So you briefly said reptilians. I just want to take like a 30-second pause here and ask you about the beings that visited you. We've had a lot of reptilians have had a bad rap, right? A
Yeah.
lot of people consider them negative. I'm actually going to do a series on reptilians, positive or negative. We're going to do a three-part series on Portals Ascension, going down the ancient dragon races and the serpentine
Oh,
bloodline. And
yeah.
I want you to tell me, who are these beings? What did you get from that experience?
Well, when I met two of them. They came above. One had a cape, the other did not. And when they came above, I didn't get a negative sense about them at all. So they do have a bad rap. I look at it this way. If I were standing, first of all, they've been here longer than we have as humans, okay? And if I was standing from behind their eyes, which is the way I try to always look at things, including the grays, and I've had conversations and worked with the grays also, and they have a bad rap too, in a sort of way, and I could tell you about them. But standing behind their eyes, you get to see the world and what's going on from the way they view it, which is not the way humankind views it. So, I do believe there are some just like people in humankind that are very come from the very shadow dark side of things. There is evil, but again, there's evil all throughout everywhere. So it's a matter of what you do with something. So rather than being frightened by them or anything, I just stood there and I explained what we were doing because they came above to find out what it was that we were doing. And they definitely live there, and that we were not harmful in any way or going to do anything. And they were just curious, really, about what was happening. So I had a different take on them than what maybe has been portrayed about them.
Yeah, this infinite expressions of source,
Right,
so many different
exactly.
ways. And when it comes to the reptilians, like the Prism of Lyra book and other channelers and people have said that the before humanoids came into this Milky Way galaxy, that there was a lot of reptilian races and insectoid races that Not all of them are polarized one way. So it's like
Exactly.
when you expand our perspective of what is actually possible and move away from fear, wouldn't you say?
I would 100% agree.
And a lot of these beings too were wounded originally, a lot of the ones that are doing nefarious things. So when we look at it from a perspective of they were wounded rather than they're trying to get us, and then we look at how we can heal those wounds because they're the shadow aspect of ourselves, And by healing those shadow aspects, we're healing that reflection,
Exactly. I would
So
agree.
where are some places, because I want to get into Lemuria in a second. So this is how we'll do it. I want to first, everybody who's just joining in right now, let me just say that we're here with Lori Wheeler. And Lori is coming on to Portal to Ascension in many ways. She's going to be a sponsor and actually at our conference in San Diego and also in Glastonbury. And she's going to be doing a retreat to Hawaii the week after, right, Lori? The week after our conference. And then in Glastonbury, after Glastonbury, it's a retreat in Glastonbury and in the south of France, correct? Yeah. So definitely come to our conference, guys. Check it out, centricconference.com. And if you can't come to the conference but want to attend the retreat, the links are pinned in the chat and then also in the comments and also in centricconference.com. So yeah, I'd love to see some of you guys here. When we're done with today's interview, I'll go ahead and play the trailer for you and you can check it out. So Lori, I'm curious, where are some places that you want to go that you haven't been to yet?
Interesting. There's a whole lot coming about it through this retreat concept. And I just finished doing an expo. So I now have women in China that now want to come and do retreats with a translator. So I'm very excited about injecting light and bringing having them bring back light into their country in different ways. And so I'm very excited about that. They will be going to many of the places we're doing retreat. We're going to open up to another part of Africa and get to know some of the people that exist there in the tribes and also do some safari because it's connecting with the beings that exist there that what they can share with us also and how to be in connection and live
Live in
together in a
harmony.
harmonious way because we really need to we can take from them and learn from them I think they have a lot to share with us. And then next year we're also going to Egypt and that is going to
2024?
be fascinating. Pardon?
2024, right?
Yeah, March of 24 we're going and I've been working with the Sphinx. And the Sphinx and I have been in communication because the Sphinx is alive and it has a lot of information to share. I was told that there's a doorway in the paw, which I did not realize until I actually Googled it. And there is a door in the paw.
Yeah, there is.
So we want to go and hear. And what I actually heard from the Sphinx is it told me that everything mankind needs to know is in the Sphinx. It's held in the Sphinx in the vibration and the frequency. So of course, I'm really super excited about that too. And there are times where I can hardly even talk about it because the connection in my heart, I know I've been there. I've lived in that time. I'm connected. I connect with Horus and Isis and Thoth who come and speak to me all the time. They handed me the chalice, a golden chalice, during a journey one time and said to me, "You are of the lineage." And that just really blew me away because, we don't have a working memory of these things. We come actually and forget on purpose. So it's relearning who we are in this embodiment. But that really took me by surprise.
And the Sphinx is the smoke is one of the smoking guns of human antiquity. They said it was built around 3000 BC, but through geological studies and a lot of other data, including the fact that the constellation of Leo was in front of it the last time it was in use, which was 13,000 years ago, right? And just a little side note, Robert Schock, who's the geologist that discovered the dating, is going to be at our conference too. And even the Ember Tablets of Thoth even speak about Thoth's spaceship being underneath, this Paw of the Sphinx.
Exactly.
So this is,
Exactly.
I feel once we start disclosing a lot of information, and if we're allowed to actually go into these places, it's going to rewrite human history.
It will. It's there to do that. I'm actually reading these transmissions that were given in 06 to Robert Perala, and he and I are working together, and I'm reading them because he hasn't been able to find anybody to read them, and they are also information that's coming from Sirius, and it's connected to the pyramids in Egypt also, and how they connect to other sacred sites and the information, and it's like a book. And I can see the frequencies, but part of it is not written yet, or it's not understood yet. But it's trying to make its way into mankind to understand so that we understand how to navigate our world into the 5D. That information is all within the pyramids and the Sphinx and the.
Yes, so many codes in there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
I get chills every time I talk about Egypt. Like
I know.
it's mind-blowing, really, the genius of that level of civilization.
I know. Yes, it truly is. They were so connected and understand, and this is why all of this, and I'll say, Mary Magdalene and Yeshua and the many masters in that, this is why right now is so very important. Lemuria, connecting to Lemuria. It's unearthing because it's helping us transition into this 5D. My understanding when I was working with these, I'll call them squiggles because that's just what they look like, these codes, it really just says there's nothing we really have to do. It's just our existence. Stop working so hard at it and just be. Be in your physical being, know what it feels like to be embodied, and you're connecting to your higher self, your own true self, your true magnificent soul that we are.
That's why I love the phrase, we're human beings, not human doings.
Right.
Just gotta remember it.
Very good. I like it. Yeah.
Let's get into Lemuria, okay? So I'm not sure, because we haven't had a deep conversation about, how you got about this. Like, what is your level of awareness of Lemuria? Do you have, when did Lemuria exist? What is Lemuria? Where was it? Who were these people? And then maybe just take over right now, funnel it into why you chose to actually go and do this retreat that's connecting to the Lemurian energy.
Okay, so I was called to live in Hawaii in 09. I lived in Hawaii for several years, and I lived on Big Island. And I didn't know a lot about Hawaii, but I really felt drawn to be there. And it was sort of a revealing time for me. I learned about Pele, who is the goddess there, and the way she maneuvers with people. And my understanding is that you will stay as long as you need to stay, and then she'll let you know if it's time to go or not. So we were on Big Island, and we lived over on the Kona side for a while, and then I moved up to Waimea. And Waimea is what we call Panialo country. It's cowboy country because it looks like, the Wild West. But it is very sacred land. In fact, all of Hawaii is sacred land because it's the tip of Lemuria. And Lemuria, so I'll just go back. I'm not going to talk a lot about it because it's the kind of thing you really have to experience, Lemuria. But so when we were seated here on Earth, the beings that came before to check what this Earth was about and could it embody beings that needed to be here to get prepared for when we as humanity came about, were the whales and the dolphins. So they were the first, and they came from Sirius. And so many stayed behind, some left after the job was complete, and they found that where they came from was a very a place that was full of water, their planetary system. And so because we have a lot of water here, they were able to maneuver and live in their particular original embodiment that way. So they've been here forever. They've been waiting to help us come along, to give us this information. This is why I believe so many people, including myself, wanted to work with the dolphins. We want to swim with the dolphins. And we don't really know why. And I didn't know it when I was a young girl either, but I just could feel it. I wanted to be just like them. And the interesting thing is when you get in the water and you swim with them, and or you swim with any animal under the water, like the turtles too, the movement, you become a different person when you're underwater and you move like them. And this is the way they communicate, or one of the ways they communicate with us. They also work with a particular sonar where they send signal or they receive signal one of two ways. And it then comes into their mind in a vision. And so they begin to understand it through a visual perception, not an intellectual perception. I mean, they do, but not as much intellectually. So when you're working with them, they're sending information through the water, through the bubbles. We've swam through the bubbles. We've been in the pod when a baby was born, which is a very, very unusual happening that they would allow somebody to come into their pod. They're very protective. The males are very protective of the females and the young ones. So how did I get in this? So, you know, living there, I began to understand it in a different way. And I used to like watch people, how they thought the land was so beautiful and they were on vacation. And I used to think, but you're missing the best part of Hawaii. This is our Lemurian roots. You know, this is what we're here to be learning. And so I'll say that. So when we embodied from the star systems, the third grouping of beings that remained were the Mu, Lemurian Mu. And the Mu, when Lemuria went through its cataclysm, they scattered. And the Mu, they lived amongst the Polynesians that came also, but the Polynesians were cannibalistic and they didn't want to live with them. So they scattered and moved, and they became the Mayans actually, and moved into Mexico and south of the United States. And then also went up to Mount Shasta, the Lemurians. And so they're in Hawaii, they're known as the Menahuni, which are like about 3 feet tall, and they're quite magical when they show up. And they can show up anywhere in any different way, but you know they're there because you kind of get this feeling when they're around, and they're very kind of comforting actually to be around. So, but they were what I would consider. So there are seven levels of our soulful evolution, and they were part of becoming, they were like the ancient race of people that lived here before the Polynesians did. And they were about learning to come into body. And that's the second part of the soulful evolution. So let's see, what else do I want to say about them? They worked with the stones. You'll see stone and rock walls all over Hawaii. And they had a big part in building a lot of Hawaii that way. Let's see what else. When we do the retreat, we are going to go to some sacred heiaus. When I was there the last time, we were doing a shamanic journey, and my husband plays the didgeridoo, and he does a beautiful job. It's such a balancing and a beautiful instrument, and ancient, like one of the first instruments. And then I use the shamanic drum, and so together we create this energy. And we were standing in Kona in one of the heiaus, which is a sacred site to the Hawaiians, and up on the rock wall, each one of the chiefs of the island showed up, including King Kamehameha, which he is the most revered because he brought and unified all of the islands together. And so he's very honored. They do parades with him, and it's quite something. And each one of them showed up in their regalia and that. And King Kamehameha, he put a lei around my neck and he thanked me for raising the vibration of the land of Hawaii, because that was our intention when we went there. So it was very honoring to be there, to work with the land, to be a part of this. And so I've worked with kahunas. We're going to work with a kahuna. We're going to work with the dolphins, although they do have a restriction for swimming with them right now. But we're going to go in. I've spoken with a facility. We're actually going to be able to go in and work with them and to work closely with the dolphins. You know, it's an interesting thing because the dolphins are still carrying this information, but they're here also to serve and to help us heal. And the beauty is when you work with them, like when I lived in Mexico, I would get in the tanks with them and I could hold their head in my hand. They're quite a big head. And you can count the spots on their tongue and count their teeth when they're opening their mouth. But when they look at you with their eye, it's like just goes right through your whole being. You can feel that energy. And as they pass their energy and their information to the person you're working to help that healing and that information to transmit to, they're just such an amazing animal. They really are to work with. So we're going to work with them. Let's see what else. We're going to go over to Kauai and go to the canyons in that there. And actually the Dalai Lama actually has said that he considers Kauai the place where souls enter and leave the earth. And I thought that was pretty fascinating that he says that. So there's, you know, we've got a lot jam packed in, and it's going to be a spectacular, happening.
Okay. You said so much. So let me see what I can like grab onto, cause there's so much I want to. Okay. So firstly to everybody, we're talking about, Hawaii, we're talking about dolphins, whales, and Lemuria. And I just want to share with everybody your website where they can find out more about this. That's spiritadventuretours.com. spiritadventuretours.com. They can just go to the site, right? Click on Hawaii and all the info is there.
They can click on Spirit Adventure Tours on the Wellness Within website.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wellnesswithin.net, is that right?
.net. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so wellnesswithin.net. And Lori's going to be at our conference in San Diego and also in Glastonbury. And this retreat is going to happen the week of the 24th, April 24th. And so you started talking here about dolphins and whales and how they were basically came to this planet to see how it could be seeded for life. And I'm not sure if I missed that, if you said anything, but so what was their connection to the Lemurians? Like where they came to the planet and the Lemurians were one of the first seedings, or how did that work?
Lemurians were, I'm not sure when they happened exactly in the elevations of the soul. So I know they were the second part of the soul learning process of the seven learning processes that we go through. But they began around the time of the Polynesians and the, we'll call them Menahuni or the Mu or you know, they became the Lemurians. And again, then they dispersed, they separated and dispersed. And so they became the Mayans when they went south, and they were the Lemurians that went up to Mount Shasta into the north.
Right, right. It's so interesting because the number seven, divine number, mm-hmm. you know, Pythagoras is love number seven. And then also we got the seven sisters, the Pleiades. And there's, you know, the Maya, huge connection to the seven stars, the sisters yeah. and Pleiades. Mm-hmm. And then there's also been information about, I don't know if you know anything about this, about the Lemurians being acceding from the Pleiades. Some people say that there were Pleiadians that came to Earth. Some people say that there were Venusians that had original ancestry in the Pleiades. Do you know, have any information on that?
You know, it's interesting. What I think is the Pleiadians and the Syrians work kind of hand in hand. And I'm not certain if I'm really clear on who seeded who first, you know. I don't know that, actually. And I've never asked it, because I don't think it really has made any much of a difference from my understanding personally.
Yeah, it makes sense. And so much has happened since the dawn of creation, if right. you can even say that, because like time doesn't exist the way we see it, yeah. that we've like overlapped on many levels. There's a lot of ancestry happening, right? Multiple times. Oh,
absolutely, absolutely. And simultaneous, yeah. I don't know if people understand this, but working with soul regression, doing past life, between lives, and future progressive.
You do that as well? You facilitate this?
I do. I and that's where I've learned a lot of information through their people's own connections to their other times. So what I want to, and I'm sure many do know this, but some may not realize that our soul, part of it remains in spirit form, which is the higher self. And then part of it becomes embodied, but it doesn't just go to one area. Depending on the wisdom of your soul and how averse you are to reincarnation and where you've been and all of that, you could be split in three, four, or five different areas. So yeah. maybe you're on the earth one, maybe you're in two different places on the earth, and simultaneous, yeah. you're up in Arcturus or you're in another galaxy, but there's much going on simultaneous. And I just wanted to point that out and make connection to that. So,
For sure. So are you saying simultaneous incarnations in this dimension on this earth, that your soul can be split into multiple experiences now, but you can go visit yourself?
Yeah, and I know that because I work up on the galactic starship, and I work with the Arcturian commander, and he has told me simultaneously we are in other places to my happening right here on the Earth. Yeah.
Yes, so, I really like
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you said Bob plays the ditch, huh?
Yeah, he does. He's very good at it.
Can he bring his didge to the conference?
Absolutely. We bring it wherever we go. Yeah. He's got one of these that opens up, so it's perfect, you know?
Oh, nice. Oh, I love those. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, in 2018, 2019, we had a didgeridoo experience with 20 to 30 didgeridoos going on at once around the
whole
thing.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
We have the video. It was the most epic didgeridoo experience ever. So,
I can imagine. We've done so many shamanic journeys over the years. I've been doing them for 25 years now. And we did a lot of them when we were in Hawaii. We used to work up Tutu's house in Kona. Waimea on Big Island. And, you know, maybe once a week, once a month, we would gather together. And it's probably the only place I actually incurred a negative spirit coming in. Some gal came in and she didn't realize it came in with her. And I had to, you know, hold the energy of the space, but it's magic there. And so, yes, we've done many, many shamanic journeys all over the world, actually. And it's quite fascinating to work with different cultures in it, you know? So, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I bet. Yeah. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, so the way I want to, before we close out today, because I want you to do the light language, but I also want to show the trailer. So I feel that to end this whole broadcast with the light language would be great rather than the trailer. So I'm going to go ahead and show everybody the trailer now, and then we'll get into the light language. Sound good, Lori?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, let's do it. So to everybody out there, This is the trailer for Portal to Ascension Conference in San Diego, and it's the return of us doing live events. 2.7 years later, plus or minus, we are going live once again as an in-person event. This is going to be April 21st to 23rd, 3 days at the Marina Village Conference Center in San Diego, and overlooking right next to SeaWorld, overlooking the ocean, super beautiful there. And then we go to the UK, we do Glastonbury Conference there, we're going to Egypt, taking two tours of people to Egypt. We're doing a conference in Sedona on the Crystal Skulls, bringing the Crystal Skulls back together for the first time since 2011, and skulls that have never rejoined. I wanted to fulfill a prophecy, so we decided to put this together to fulfill it. So it's going to be really cool.
You know, and Neil, you talk about the skulls. I've worked with Einstein, the Crystal School.
Nice.
Yeah, and I have a video on my YouTube channel where I'm actually translating what it's speaking about. But
what?
Literally, Einstein and I, we are so very connected. Yeah.
Well, if you want to be a part of it, you know, we could talk about that one too if you're around in November.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good.
Because, I'm really excited for that. But that's the whole year. We have until November, okay. And we're actually doing a conference we've taken over the whole entire Luxor in Vegas, the entire thing for November 11th weekend with a few other people. And basically to bring good energies and frequencies to Vegas. And we're going to be doing good work there, 11-11 meditation. So there's a lot of amazing things coming up. But the reason why this trailer that I'm showing you right now is just so important to me, because this is the signature event of Portal to Ascension. You know, this is really what we're all about. We do so many events on different topics, but this one right here is called the Portal to Ascension Conference because it's full circle awareness. And the theme for this conference is Humanity Awakens, because it's not about, are we waking up? When are we waking up? It's inevitable. The chaos, the confusion, the craziness in the world are just old systems, that an old paradigm that no longer serves us, that is on its way out. And as they go out, a lot of people, as every age shifts, as every yuga cycle shifts, there's always those that are holding on to the old age. You can see it by looking at the yuga cycle calendar. You can see the dates that it happened. And look at your own conventional history books and you can tell, wow, it's so interesting that these cycles ended right when this occurred. The Trojan War occurred at this cycle. The Mahabharata occurred at this cycle. This civilization holding on to old ways occurred at this level. This is inevitable. But the way we get there, how soon we get there, is completely up to us. So this year, we're picking up the momentum on an unprecedented level, because it's no longer, it's time for us to wake up. You know, humanity is not benefiting from this system anymore. And we benefited for many ways because we got the shadow work that we needed. And it's now time for us to go through the singularity and emerge into a new octave of existence. So this is the Portal Ascension trailer here. I'm going to go ahead and play it for you all.
After 3 years of having to produce the Portal to Ascension Conference online, we have been waiting for this moment. The Portal to Ascension Conference is returning live and in person. Join us at the Marina Village in San Diego, California, April 21st to 23rd, 2023. As massive shifts are happening on the planet and hidden truths are being uncovered, we are piecing together the fragmented parts of our existence and timeline. At Portal to Ascension, we are dedicated to full circle awareness of the truth of who we are and remembrance of our connection to the cosmos. This is showtime. There is no holding back. Now is the time for us to harmonize the frequencies and create unity and peace on Earth. We are deprogramming from an outdated matrix system, re-educating and remembering an inherent truth that connects us all. As we come together, we activate our truest potentials, individual gifts, and collective resolve. We are ushering a whole new reality that we know is possible and is waiting for us to embrace it. Join founder Neil Gore and the entire Portal to Ascension team with hosts Alan Steinfeld, Michelle Anderson, and Joan of Angels over these 3 days, April 21st to 23rd, 2023. We will experience musical performances by Larissa Stowe and the Shakti Tribe, Vox Angelus, Share the Light, Admiral Apollo, and Torquem G. This conference features incredible luminaries such as JJ and Desiree Hertek, Adam Apollo, Carolyn Corey, Robert Schock, Linda Moulton Howe, Robert Edward Grant, Barbara Lamb, and many more. Register now at ascensionconference.com. It is time for humanity to awaken.
right, so that is it, everybody. So please do come to the conference if you're able to. If you can't come live and be there in person, it's going to be great because we're going to have a lot of time to connect with each other and, you know, have some networking opportunities, but really just coming together to share our love, inspiration, and passion for the awakening of humanity. And if you can't attend live in person, then you can come online and you can get tickets at ascensionconference.com. So thank you all so much. All right. So let's just take a deep breath in and then shift back into the energy of this moment here. Everybody tuning in, please take a deep breath in with me and with Lori. Let's just bring ourselves back to this moment. All right, and Lori, I'd love to hand it over to you.
Oh, chakalamata kina moko tu kari ni ni maka pakanya na tala I kona na tapa kito no wacha I na na maki na maka pakde do na mato do pake na mati na maka ni mahai lama no do kawapa ni ni maka I na wapa tu na wika do pata na maka chi lo na mati kapat pa ni ni foka la la ni ni kata te tu go do ni kama na maka te te tapa pakanya na bachu. So it is.
Beautiful.
Yeah, breathe that in. Breathe it in. Take it in. And so it is. And so it is. We are blessed. We are so blessed. We work so hard as humans, and we need to step back and allow, just allow to the energy to penetrate, to connect, to aliven what we really are, who we really are. When we know ourselves, that is all we need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you, Neil. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, same here. And we're just going to close out on that, everyone. Receive that frequency. Receive that love. Move forward in this world as we move together in this awareness and this remembrance of who we are and our truest potential. Love you all so much. Take care.